taking up the tale, I'll try to get through this as painlessly as possible. So our intervention was called the ARMU study. We were trying to think of a nice acronym that would talk to give the sense of protecting people from HIV infection as well as hepatitis C virus infection. And so we got somebody to give us their guns to model the ARMU tattoo. And so this is a modular intervention to decrease HIV-related risk behaviors among methamphetamine-using men who have sex with men. And no, not mine. Mine aren't that big. We had a professional model. So to give you the perspective of San Diego and what makes it unique from the other cities, maybe, is that in San Diego, methamphetamine accounts for 40% of the drug-related mentions in emergency departments. It accounts for 42% of drug treatment admissions, and meth is detected in 44% of adult males who are incarcerated at the time of intake. And one-third of San Diego's meth-using MSM have also reported injecting the drug in a study by Tom Patterson and Shirley Semple. And so when we looked at other interventions for meth-using MSM, they typically target either HIV positives or HIV negatives, as opposed to either or both. They typically targeted either injection drug users or non-injection drug users, but not both. And they focused on sexual behaviors or substance abuse, but not necessarily both. Also, the interventions that we had seen in the literature tended to be multi-session, very intensive, and also required delivery by highly trained professionals, such as psychologists, who could deal with their substance abuse and their HIV issues. And so what we were trying to do is come up with something that would be more accessible, and hopefully some of you in the room who work in health agencies or CBOs would appreciate this, is that we wanted something that you could do fairly easily with people who aren't highly trained, but, you know, people who are very dedicated and hardworking and understanding of the population, such as community outreach workers, HIV counselors, that kind of thing. And so that's sort of what we are going for with this intervention. And so our intervention, we tried to move beyond the boutique. And so our intervention includes both HIV positive and negative meth using MSM. It includes information about injection as well as non-injected use of methamphetamine. And we tried to address both sexual and substance abuse related risk factors for HIV infection. We also tried to keep the number of sessions small, and in fact, we tried to make it easier on our participants by allowing half of the sessions to be done by telephone, so they don't actually have to come in to get those sessions, but still get some intervention. And they would be delivered by providers without advanced degrees, and in our case, we had, our counselor has a master's in health education, but he also happens to be a gay man who is infected with HIV and HCV. And the idea was to be able to complement existing services in health agencies and CBOs, as opposed to trying to make something that would really take away from their primary purpose. So this intervention builds on previously tested behavioral interventions, such as the EDGE, which included HIV-positive men who have sex with men and use meth. The FastLane study, which looked at meth-using heterosexuals who also inject the drug. The DO-IT study, which is a behavioral intervention to reduce the risk of HCV infection among young injection drug users who are all HCV and HIV negative. And STRIVE, which is a behavioral intervention for HCV positive injection drug users. So we tried to pull from each of these proven behavioral interventions, proven effective interventions, and take pieces of it that we thought would work. And I'm glad that Bill described motivational interviewing for us, so I don't have to get into that, but we started out with motivational interviewing and added skills building and linkages to services as ways to try to assist our participants in modifying their behaviors. And I will talk about the next three bullets with this slide. So our intervention, we call it a toolbox intervention because it starts out with it includes four core modules that everybody gets, and these modules are on the left, which include talking about the context of unsafe sex and meth use using motivational interviewing. We talk about safer sex negotiation, enhancement of social supports, referrals for case management, things that everybody needs. But then depending on what the participant's HIV and injection drug using status was, we'd have a separate module for somebody who was HIV positive, which would deal with things like disclosure of HIV status, and how to protect yourself and your partners. And for people who are HIV negative, we'd also talk about disclosure of their negative status and things that they could do to protect themselves from becoming infected. And then if the participant was an injection drug user, then we talked about how HIV and HCV can be transmitted through injection and sharing equipment. And then if there were not injectors, we talked about other things related to substance abuse, but also tried to make them aware that if their partners were injection drug users, even if they're not, perhaps they could be at risk. So they needed to be aware of that information as well. So the design of this trial was the same as the other studies. We had a baseline assessment followed by a 6-session intervention. The whole thing took about 3 weeks to complete. And then 2 months later, we had a follow-up assessment to measure changes in behavior. And the thing that's a little unique about our study was that we attempted to recruit 20 people in each of these strata. So we had people who were HIV positive and injection drug users, HIV negative and injection drug users, positive HIV positives who did not inject, and HIV negatives who did not inject. And so when I talk about the 4 strata, this is what I'm referring to. And so when people were recruited, we gave them an appointment card, which included what their sessions would be, how much they would get paid, and we wrote down the date and time. And you can see here that the first session was in person, the second and third were by telephone. We had the 4th session in person, the 5th by telephone, and the 6th session was in person to check back in, and then the follow-up 2 months later. And so we recruited pretty much by beating the bushes. This was an out-of-treatment study, so people had to say that they were not currently in drug treatment. So we were recruiting from bars and coffee houses and putting up flyers and word of mouth. And we used flyers that looked sort of like this, that advertised our eligibility. And ultimately, you know, we attempted to recruit 80 individuals, and we were successful at baselining 80 individuals who met the eligibility criteria that Gordon described earlier. Of those 80, however, four of them didn't go through the intervention. One withdrew right after they completed the consent, which is fine, they're allowed to do that. One, we actually found out right before they started the intervention that they were currently in drug treatment. So we missed that on the screener, and they got baseline, but they didn't go through the intervention. And 2 people actually found out that they were HIV positive during the testing process at the baseline. And because we know that when you find out that you're HIV positive, behavior changes because of that, regardless of what our intervention would be. So we didn't want anybody in our intervention who just found out that they were positive. So they were excluded. And then ultimately, we had 74 people who completed all 6 sessions of the intervention, and one that completed 3 sessions and one that completed 1. And we lost 8 people to follow up, so we ended up with 68 people that we were able to analyze to look at a change in behavior over time. And so the slide's a little bit busy, but it shows the number of people on the left column who were enrolled versus those that completed the trial. And really, there wasn't any difference in terms of the characteristics of those who were and were not included in the study. And I'd just like to point out, if I could get my cursor back, that we did have a little bit of trouble finding HIV negatives. We had an easier time enrolling HIV positives, but overall we had good representation in each of the strata. And so I borrowed Elwin's method of showing the data, so you're already familiar with the layout of these figures. But what this shows is behavior change. The red bars are the baseline estimates that they reported of each of these behaviors, and the gray bar is what they reported at follow-up. And all these behaviors are with their primary sex partner in the previous 2 months. So you can see that for every behavior, times had insertive unprotected anal sex, times used drugs during sex, times had receptive unprotected anal intercourse and used drugs during that behavior. All of these behaviors declined, although these 2 here were statistically significant. When we look at at these same behaviors with HIV positive non-primary partners, then we found that, again, all the behaviors declined from baseline to follow-up, and in this case, all of them were statistically significant. When we looked at their behaviors with their HIV negative non-primary partners, we also found, again, that all the risk behaviors declined, and these were statistically significant. And then we also asked about these same behaviors with their unknown status partners. Now, this group tended to be a little bit smaller, so statistical significance was a little bit harder to achieve. But again, you can see that the risk behavior declined for every one of these behaviors. And then we also looked at substance abuse and alcohol use. And we found that the number of people reporting an excessive amount of drinking had gone down. The percent who used any methamphetamine in the last 2 months had gone down. The frequency of methamphetamine use went down. And the percent who said that they used sex during their last, or meth used during their last sexual encounter also declined. And these were all statistically significant. And then finally, because injection drug use was an important part of this, and we were looking at HIV and HCV transmission through injecting, we looked at risk behaviors related to injection. And so the proportion of people who said that they injected had decreased over time. The number of times that people had injected the drug had also decreased. And then we looked at risky behaviors with injection and the percent of times that they injected with a used syringe or shared cookers or split the drug wet. Essentially sharing a cooker or backloading was also statistically significant. And then just we're doing some preliminary analysis to see if maybe the strata, if the intervention worked differently depending on which strata you were in. Maybe it had a greater effect on one group or another. And looking at all those variables that I showed you previously, these are the only ones that actually had what potentially was a modifying effect based on either HIV status, which was just this one times used drugs during receptive unprotected anal intercourse with a primary partner. Injection drug use came up significant on one, and then some interactions on these behaviors with non-primary partners. But essentially very few showed any kind of association that was impacted by the risk stratum.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Those moderation effects that you described there, it's higher for those?
I don't have the data to say. I just know that these were significant. I'd have to go back and look at the tables and tell you whether the HIV positives were more likely to have an effect or not. Yeah, that's a good question, Gordon, but these were done last minute. So the limitations are there was no control arm, so we don't know if this is going to work better than nothing. These are self-reported data, but we did use the ACASI, which supposedly helps people to report honestly about their behaviors. There could be some volunteer bias with all of our studies, I think, where, you know, maybe the people who came into the study were ready to change. And so, again, we really do need a control group to be able to see if the intervention does better than nothing at all. And then we did have a little bit of loss to follow up. So in conclusion, nearly all sexual behaviors declined at follow-up. Nearly all drug and alcohol use factors declined at follow-up, and very few of the associations were confounded by the sociodemographic or risk stratum. So we feel that this intervention was fairly robust, and it can actually be used with all these groups and not be restricted to one subset of the methamphetamine using MSM population. And that we need randomized controlled trials, Gordon, so we need to find funding to be able to show that these interventions are more efficacious than nothing at all. And I would just very much like to thank all the collaborators on the study and from the CDC and my PI partners who contributed a lot to the studies. Thank you. It's time for a beer.
Did you capture any data about whether the MSMs using meth also combined with Viagra?
Yes, so the question was, did we capture whether there was Viagra use in addition to the methamphetamine use? And we did ask that question. It is captured in our data set. I didn't look at it for this particular analysis, but there was a considerable amount of Viagra use in San Diego. I'm not sure if my colleagues would like to comment on. Yeah, it's very commonly reported with methamphetamine use because of the decreased stimulation during meth use and the prolonged amount of uninhibited sex that people have.
And also, do you know if that contributed or the reduction in Viagra use contributed to the reduction in risk behavior?
That's a really good question. That'll be my next analysis. I didn't look at Viagra use as an outcome, but that would be a really interesting thing to look at. Thank you for that suggestion.
In LA, we had 23% using it at baseline and 17% at follow-up, so there was a reduction, not a significant reduction, but we didn't tease that out with the sexual behaviors.
Any other questions?
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for coming.